This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I feel like I try to do my best at blocking out the noise.
With guest host, Tom Pelissero.
And then you get 100 text messages. Keep blocking out the noise.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests. Good Morning Football co-host, Jamie Erdahl. NFL Network insider, Ian Rappaport. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Tom Pelissero.
A Rich Eisenless edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero with you right now on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. In studio here with my boys, TJ Jefferson. The candle is lit over there in the corner. Make sure you blow that out before you get on the plane to London.
Oh, yeah, because that would be bad.
After the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Mike Del Tufo is here.
What's up, folks?
Amazingly here, enough. Brockman also rolled in a suitcase. I feel left out.
I'm wearing the Beatles shirt. We're going on in.
Let it be, baby. Look at that shirt.
You were there for 72 hours, not even?
Oh, no, I'm there. I'm actually coming back Saturday because I'm a great father.
Why are you really coming back?
I'm there for about 60 hours.
It's a quick turnaround. So what is the plan? Again, you rolled in with the suitcase. I assume it was empty, and then you just filled it with the shirts you keep under your desk.
Factual.
Listen. But are you staying up and going directly in to do the show? Like, how is this working tomorrow?
So we're on an afternoon flight, me and TJ, one way to London. We get in at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So 10-hour flight. 8-hour time difference.
10 a.m. local.
10 a.m. local London time. And then the show, right now, you'll watch it now, but it'll be 5 o'clock p.m. for us. So we got to get our stuff, get off the plane, do that thing, go to the hotel. Hopefully they let us check in a little early. I'd love to get a 2-hour power nap in. Seems unlikely.
You're banking on, after an international flight, a hotel in London just being like, oh, yes, you can check in 5 hours early.
Listen, Tom, diligence. I sent an email already.
Oh,
about
see, my
this.
Man
I,
hooked
I,
it
see,
up.
I lured them to
that's what you do.
The fact my that man. I'd be there early. They said, too bad. So, but the thing is, I did ask, though.
Oh, they said no. They're not going to let us check
you've
in.
You've already been rejected.
Oh, no, man.
They said they'll try to accommodate if they can. If worse comes to worst, they can just store the bags for us.
I love the early check-in.
You can sleep on the couch.
You check in. It's like, you were confirmed early check-in. Then you get there and they're like,
what?
It's not 3 o'clock.
What are you talking about?
It's like that commercial with Nick Saban. Check-in's 3 o'clock. It's 2:55. I know.
5 minutes early, baby. Like,
hook it up.
Thursday night football, by the way, will be 3:15 a.m. Friday morning kickoff. Do you anticipate?
Oh, I do. I'm gonna do my best, since I'm only there for a short amount of time, to stay on LA time.
Yeah, we're gonna find a London bar.
Yeah. Like last
middle
year,
middle of the night.
Last year, we need to find
a London breakfast spot for the 3:15 a.m. kickoff. If you want to cruise all the way through the end of that game,
I want some bangers and mash. I don't even know what that is, but I know they say that over
here's
there.
Here's the other thing, too, Tom. Do we really want to watch Bengals Steelers?
I actually think that would be a good name for this game. It's Bangers and Mash, the Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers biopic. Although yesterday, Cam Hayward gave us a different official name for the match of the two 40-something-year-old quarterbacks.
Oldest quarterbacks playing this week. Let's go. Woo! Icy hot ball. I love it.
Icy hot ball.
As a big proponent of icy hot from my youth baseball playing days, when sometimes you didn't put the icy hot on your arm. Let's be honest, on the bench.
Icy hot ball. I love it.
But also, even now, I got an ache. Not to turn this into an icy hot ad here, but I'm a fan.
Ice up, son.
And when you got two 40-year-old quarterbacks going at it on a short week in Cincinnati, the first time, by the way, that two 40-something-year-old quarterbacks have squared off since 2020. It's only happened 3 times in NFL history.
It's got to be Brady and Brees, right?
All 3 times, Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
The only other times that this has happened
in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers also spoke on, he was asked about the novelty of that type of a matchup.
I think it's great, great for all the old guys, you know. I know that when I watch other sports, maybe it's because I'm the older guy, but I tend to pull for the older guys to win championships. I've been friends with Steph for a long time. Steph is one of the older guys in the NBA now. So anytime the Warriors are playing, I'm always pulling for Steph to ball out for them to win. But it's great. I mean, I've known Joe for a long time. He's been great coming to my charity event. He's been a great ambassador for the league. He's had a great career, and it's fun that we're both still playing.
A very nice way for Aaron Rodgers to say, I'm 3-0 all time against Joe Flacco. I think in this moment, I've got this thing. It's a pivotal moment in the season if you're the Bengals tomorrow night. It has the feeling of, if you are going to make a run and get back in this, you got to win this game. Short weeks are weird. Thursday night games are weird.
Yep.
But
they've been
on
good
your
this
home
year,
field,
too, though. A lot of points on these Thursday night games this year.
There have been. But I think that's part of the uniqueness of it. The game planning process is a little bit different. There's different things in terms of injuries, too, whether or not you're holding out guys who were injured on Sunday, or if they were injured the previous week, you held them out on Sunday, and they've basically got a 10-11-day window to get back for the games. There's a lot of different factors in this. Everybody's got different theories in terms of how you handle the short week games. But for a Bengals team that's lost four in a row, and they played better and better through the course of that game in Green Bay. If you watch Joe Flacco, he had 2 days of work with Ja'Marr Chase, not even three, because Ja'Marr Chase was sick and didn't practice on Friday. Right. He had basically no reps with his best receiver, but when you needed him to make a play down the stretch, and it's maybe the catch of the year by Ja'Marr Chase in traffic by the pylon, but Joe Flacco puts that ball on him. And then that's a tough route if you haven't had the time on task with that wide receiver. If you're going to make a run, it's a lot easier to do it. Still hard, but a lot easier to do it at 3-4. By the way, knocking down the number one team in the division to 4-2. Heck of a lot easier than falling to 2-5 and then being in a spot where it's like, you got to win 9 or 10 of your remaining 10 games to have a shot, at least 8, to even have a chance. The rest of the upcoming schedule, especially to the bye, the Jets, they're winless. That's a home game. You got the Bears, who've played better. Obviously, Caleb Williams had the most controlled game that he's had in his career on Monday night against Washington. Then you got the bye to heal up. You get another crack at the Steelers. It does get more difficult as you're looking at it after the bye, but you still got Baltimore twice on your schedule. And to the extent the Ravens have to claw back into it, they're 1-5. You split those games. You've done yourself a service. You lose a fifth straight game, and the questions going into Jets week around the team are probably not going to be so much about how do the Bengals get back into the playoff race. It's, should they be selling at the trade deadline, which, by the way, hits during their bye?
Ooh.
It's right after that game against the Bears. That Tuesday is the trade deadline. It feels momentous. It also feels like the culmination of a storyline I don't feel like we've given enough time to over the past couple of days, because the quote came out on Monday while we were on. We briefly reacted to it on the show. But there is not one thing in the NFL that more people have called me about, more than why the Titans fired Brian Callahan after six games, more than what's going on in the trade market. I've gotten more questions about what Mike Tomlin had to say when he was asked about the Browns trading Joe Flacco in the division to the Bengals.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us. Because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
From Cincinnati's perspective, did it make sense for them?
It certainly made sense from Cincinnati's perspective.
I've covered the NFL since 2003.
That quote does get funnier every time I hear it.
And the smile on his face when he's asked the follow-up, like, yeah, made sense for them.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, why wouldn't they do that?
I've covered the NFL for over 20 years, and it's possible I'm forgetting something. But I do not remember, whether it's joking or not, whether it's serious or not, and I'll get to that momentarily. I don't remember a head coach mentioning by name an opposing general manager in critiquing a trade that did not directly involve you. Ever. It does not happen. And it has created a ripple effect through the course this week. And again, the media availability is different on a Thursday night game, too. Guys aren't around. The locker room's not open as often. Right. There's not as many press conferences. Yep. Kevin Stefanski, the Browns coach, was asked about it. Said, in short, I have no comment on that. Bengals coach Zach Taylor also came up in his presser.
Tomlin spoke today about being surprised that the Browns would trade Joe Flacco to you. He said, you know, it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. Were you surprised that a team in division was willing to help you?
I was happy. That's my only comment.
I love that as Zach is hearing that question unwind, and whether he knew about the quote or not, I'm guessing he did, but he's almost trying to hold back laughter by the end of it, and you can see him kind of biting his lip about it. Yeah, you're happy. Now, again, we'll see what it means. They could get blown out by the Steelers on Thursday night. But at a time that Jake Browning, who you had counted on to be able to fill in if Joe Burrow were out, is turning the ball over at an unbelievable rate, this gave you a glimmer of hope. There's only one position at which you can make a sea change, and that is quarterback. The one spot where you can go, we brought this guy in. Now everything's got a chance to be different. Whether that's real or not, there's a more than a placebo effect. If Joe Flacco finds it, if he gets on track with one of the best receiver duos in the entire NFL, they've got some hope. Joe Flacco, not surprisingly, also was asked about Tomlin's comment.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't get to see how upset he was. But, you know, I think he's probably just playing the game a little bit and, you know, doing whatever he has to do.
Here's what I would say. In exploring the dynamics, let's put it that way, of this comment over the past couple of days, I do not believe, and I'll let Mike Tomlin, if he ever wants to, speak for himself on this subject, but I do not believe that was Mike Tomlin playing the game. Every week, the Steelers, Tomlin has his press conference normally on Tuesdays, and he will go through talking about how great every player on the opponent is, the challenge they present. If you were facing the 0-6 Jets this week, he would talk about, man, Justin Fields is a problem. We had him here. He would talk about some of the players they got on defense, Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner.
No, Breece Hall.
He was going to say positive things regardless of any opponent. But I believe we got a very honest remark right there from Mike Tomlin. Because if you're watching the tape of Joe Flacco and the way that he has played under tough circumstances in Cleveland and under different but also tough circumstances last week, playing with guys, he was acquired 5 days before that game in Green Bay. And while they lost to the Packers, they were functional as an offense.
Oh, yeah.
Joe had some type of a foundation in it.
He was winging it.
Jamar Chase, by the way, real quick, also had a very brief comment on his feelings about the Mike Tomlin comment.
What did you think when you saw it?
I kept scrolling.
I think that should be the new, like, I'm just
doing
something.
We need to clip that off. We need to clip off. I just kept scrolling.
Which, by the way, that's a good life policy.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. In a lot of different areas here.
Keep scrolling.
But I believe that was Mike Tomlin's honest remark, which was, if you watch the tape and you watch where Cincinnati was, and you're trying to figure out why would you help a division opponent, I understand why you would be taken aback by it. Now, it's none of his business. It's none of the Steelers' business. The Browns and Bengals can make whatever trades they want. But I believe that that's really how Mike Tomlin felt. Why, if you thought Andrew Berry or any other GM made a terrible, illogical trade, you would call that out publicly rather than going, they're in the division. I want to keep somebody who's making bad trades in the division. That's a separate type of a conversation. Andrew Berry's a very smart guy. Okay, the Browns have had an up-and-down run throughout the course of his tenure, an up-and-down run since football returned to Cleveland in the late 90s. If you unpack why the Browns did make that trade, I've heard and I've had people propose various conspiracy theories to me over the past couple of days. The most compelling one, I don't believe it's true, the most compelling one was the Browns, who have put everything into 2026, going back to the Travis Hunter trade, trading down, getting Jacksonville's first-round pick next year, getting an upgrade of a pick in the Tyson Campbell trade, sending Greg Newsom, who's a better player. Why do you do that? For, well, because you get a cost-controlled player and a higher pick,
right,
by bringing in Tyson Campbell. And then to the Flacco trade. The best conspiracy theory I heard was, well, they may have been getting nervous that the Bengals would be so bad they wouldn't get to play a last place schedule next year. So they had to make sure they helped them to ensure the Browns finish last. I don't actually believe.
I don't know, man. That's a pretty good one. I don't believe
that's the case. Could be the outcome.
That's some 4D chess right there.
The intent, it would be 3D chess, absolutely. The intent, I think, is much more straightforward, which is Joe Flacco is no longer the starter. They would have loved to win more games. They would have loved if they don't miss a field goal in week one to cost them a game that could have gotten them off on a better foot. When they played the Bengals to the wire with Joe Flacco at quarterback, once they benched Joe Flacco sooner than they wanted to because of where the season was, because Flacco struggled in Detroit, Joe Flacco is never playing again. Ownership, Jimmy Haslam said back in training camp, we absolutely need to see the rookie quarterbacks. Because when you got two firsts in 2026, you're going to be able to potentially go and get whatever quarterback you want in the draft. You got to know if these guys can play. And once Dylan Gabriel has an opportunity, he's played two games. They did not look particularly good last week, but it's also a rookie quarterback with all kinds of moving parts on his offensive line. No true number one wide receiver. They're going to give Dylan Gabriel some time. You also at some point need to see Shedeur Sanders. And elevating the guy who's been the emergency third and not even technically active on game day to the starting role would also be unusual. So you clear the decks of Joe Flacco. He wasn't going to be around, you know, probably for the long haul if he wasn't playing anyway. Man. Certainly wasn't going to be coming back. You offload about $2 million in salary, and you upgrade from a sixth to a fifth round pick. That's really it. If you want to just baseline logic, the ideas of trading within the division have changed over time. We've seen far more, anecdotally speaking, in-division trades over the last, let's call it, 5 years than I can ever remember seeing before. Because GMs go, okay, yeah, we got to face the guy twice a year. It impacts us kind of in a passive way in terms of the division standings. But if we feel like we're getting value, why do I care? The Vikings and Lions made multiple trades. The Vikings sent the pick for Jameson Williams to Detroit. And then they also acquired TJ Hockenson from the Lions because Brad Holmes and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah are both like, whatever, it's a trade. We feel like there's a good trade for everybody. We're just going to make a good trade. But the fact that you had Mike Tomlin come out and mention Andrew Berry by name, this is not the last we have heard of this. This is certainly not all you're going to hear about this in terms of the broadcast tomorrow night. I am sure that Al Michaels has that exact quote clipped off and written in big letters on his sheet. It will come up a few times with him and Kirk.
Never say never, but never.
Apparently, once in a while, the Browns and Bengals do indeed make a trade. I'm sure we could talk a lot more about this.
I love it.
Chock full
so good.
Week 7 slate across the NFL. Who better, too, to get into that with more than our good friend Jamie Erdahl, host of Good Morning Football. She is in studio right after this on the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero in for Rich.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Week 7 of the NFL season quickly approaching right here. And who else would we want to break that down with? My very good and old friend, Jamie Erdahl, is here with us.
Yeah. What's up?
In the studio.
How's everybody doing?
Doing fantastic. You?
great. You know, it's this is like hour 9 for me, awake and functioning and talking about football. So just a quick drive over from Good Morning Football to here to just keep it rolling.
The last time that we were sitting here was right after you moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There's been an evolution of the show, obviously, since then. Manti Te'o has been fantastic on the show.
Yes,
with you guys out here. How are you adjusting to life on the West Coast?
You know, my kids are a little younger than yours. The young kid life lends itself to the morning show life. So our whole house is just dark at 8:30 p.m. Everyone's asleep by then, and I get up at 3 and I do the show, and I'm home usually, if I'm not doing something like this, by 10 a.m.
I'm sorry to take you away from it. So not only you're hosting Good Morning Football, but you have a new YouTube show called No Breaks with Jamie Erdahl, and I was like, oh, and I now contributed to the No Break thing. This is normally probably the break when one of the kids is at school, and instead you're here, which
I
appreciate.
You gotta walk the walk, talk the talk, live the life. And it does feel like right now in this era there are no breaks for me, and also a play on the all gas no breaks football thing. Mm-hmm. But this is no commercial breaks because no one's paid me to take one of those yet. So I'm just talk and yap for about 35 minutes every day, live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern. And it's pretty much all the thoughts that I don't get out on Good Morning Football. Mm-hmm. So it's anything that's not football related. Parenting, family, friendships, marriage, what have you. So it's kind of a fill in the blank Mad Libs type show.
How much of scheduling that at 4 p.m. is about making sure that you actually power through and then aren't taking like periodic naps through the day so that it screws up your overnight sleep?
It's actually a great question, and you saw right through me. So it is locally done at 1 p.m. And if I didn't have something to do at 1 p.m. I also had this realization the other day as I was walking to the little studio that I built into the house for it, which was I walked right past the treadmill and the exercise bike that I had. And I was like, you know, it's weird how I've fully carved out 45 minutes of my day to do more talking and sitting and not like, what could I do for my cardiovascular health instead? And I just was like, no, I'm going to go do that YouTube show instead. So,
and today you're talking and sitting.
And more sitting and more talking.
Which we greatly appreciate you coming by.
You got to know what you're good at, you know?
We're a third of the way through the NFL season.
Yeah.
What's the biggest surprise to Jamie Erdahl so far this season?
You know what I love about this season is that everyone's right and everyone's wrong, and people can stop complaining or yelling at you if you got something wrong about their team, because everyone's kind of mediocre and I like it. You know, everyone predicts things, and I just hear less beef and less chatter in the inbox, if you will, from fan bases, because everyone's been humbled at some point already this season. We were talking this morning on Good Morning Football, 11 4-win teams. And I like it like that. I personally think that it's more fun if you don't have the juggernaut, because then we kind of are really all focused on the juggernaut. And I like the fact that teams are demanding us to talk about them in normally a term that we wouldn't, like a Seahawks team, like a Jaguars team. Mm-hmm. So I like spreading the wealth, because at least editorially, it makes it more interesting for us.
11 4-win teams. There's also, I looked this up yesterday, 20 teams that are 3-3 or better.
Yeah.
So right now, sitting here, we're 20 days out from the trade deadline. Yeah. And to the extent that in talking to and texting with GMs yesterday, everyone's like, yeah, it's really quiet. It's like, because there's not many teams that yet can convince themselves, much less their owners, like, hey, we should trade everybody right now.
Sell.
Everybody, except maybe the Jets and the Titans, are kind of in a spot where it's like, well, we still got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's a path for us to get back into this thing.
And then you just got done talking about like the Tomlin, the weird AFC North triangle, which I was really enjoying that conversation. And just like, we always look at the Cowboys and Jerry Jones as he says things to kind of stir the pot. And I fully think Tomlin doesn't take that approach. I just think he says things to say them that's on his mind. And it's not to stir the pot. It's how he actually feels. So it's, you know, I was wondering that about the trade deadline. First of all, it's odd that it's so late. It kind of bugs me that it's into November. I kind of put Halloween as like my trade deadline.
And they bumped it a couple of years ago.
Did, yeah.
Yes, trade deadline was on Halloween 2 years ago.
Yes, it was.
We had trades. I felt great getting past it. We did our show. I went out trick-or-treating with the kids. Woke up to approximately 47 missed calls and text messages about Josh McDaniels being fired immediately after the trade deadline. The short list of like 3 firings I've ever slept through. But that was a case where I'm like, all right, we got through the deadline. I'm checking on it, but it's like, they're not going to fire him on Halloween night after the trade deadline. And they did.
And they did.
And you never know when that's going to occur.
No, you do not. I thought you were going to say you slept through it because like that Raiders team was just one that you were sleeping on, if you will. But
I had my AirPod on. You know, it's true.
Wait,
in Minneapolis.
Do you sleep with AirPods in?
It depends. I sleep with AirPods in if there's a specific piece of news I'm waiting for.
And what does your AirPod say to you? Is it a voice that's like,
it's
wake
Siri.
Up, Tom, things are happening?
No, Siri, though, will be like, you got a text message for this person said this.
Okay, wait, no. You even can't stop down. So then when Siri says, before. Tom, you have a text from mom, you're like, go away, mom, I'm not going to respond right now. But
it reads
if it's
the
like
text.
From Andrew
it reads
Barry,
the whole text.
Stop it. And your brain is processing it through osmosis or something?
I mean, I will sort of jolt awake. And then if it's not important, I'll click the little thing and it'll go away.
I don't think
if
people knew this about insiders.
This last year, it happened.
I don't think this is healthy.
I love did it last year. It was middle of the season.
Yeah.
And again, I was like, man, I'm bushed. It's 10 o'clock or 10:30, whatever. When the central time, the Sunday night game had ended, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to bed. But like, there's enough stuff here that like something weird could happen. So I have my AirPods in. And sure enough, like 20 minutes later, the phone rings. In that case, it was a call. But then I've got the ringing in my ear and saying, this person is calling you. And I picked it up and it was, dude, you better call Vegas because they just fired Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator. If I hadn't slept with the AirPods in, and that was literally from that Halloween experience, ever since then, if I think there's a faint chance of something happening overnight, AirPods are in.
What is playing in the AirPods?
When do you want to sit here and interview me?
No, kind of.
Yes.
No, bring it on. Yes. Bring it on.
Let's go.
I'm all for this conversation.
People are always wondering how you guys get this stuff done. And frankly, I've never heard of this before, and I've never had the audacity to ask. And that was really fascinating to me. And now it makes me feel a lot less productive than me having like three television shows that I'm trying to manage.
Well, you have, and I feel it when I'm here. two years in a row, I've been here hosting this show when the first head coach firing of the season happened.
Oh.
Last year, it was Robert Saleh on a Tuesday, which happened right before
because Rich
this
Kurt
show.
And I had just done that Jets-Vikings game.
Correct.
And I came back, and it was like, I was on the Jets sideline for that game, just staring at the back of Aaron Rodgers, like sad body language
the
entire game.
I will always say, I covered Aaron, you know, from early in his career, his first year as the starter in Green Bay, and I was at the Green Bay Press Gazette. I have never seen him play a worse game than that one. But my thinking was Aaron is done. It wasn't Robert Saleh is gone. Though in hindsight, you looked back and there was just kind of this sinking vibe around the team. Woody Johnson had already kind of decided he didn't want Saleh to be the coach. But usually if you're going to do that, then you fire him on Monday, not waiting till Tuesday.
Right.
And then this year, live on this show, Brian Callahan is fired via press release in the middle of the show. So, I mean, my point is when you're doing those shows, you are so ensconced in it from 2 hours before the show, prepping for GMFB through, in your case, a 4-hour show, including Good Morning Football overtime. That is a little bit different than me popping on your show for 90 seconds, making a wisecrack about Kyle, delivering you some injury news, and then going back to making calls again.
You do it so beautifully, though, and we appreciate the effort that you do.
I do appreciate that. What do you think of your Vikings right now? You got to see them over there.
I did. I'm still holding out judgment on it. It's a weird season. And honestly, I'm glad that what's happening to them, again, is kind of happening to everybody right now. And it's he who manages the injuries the best is how this season's going to go. I haven't struck up an opinion yet about when we should see J.J. McCarthy again because of how well KOC and Josh McCown handle any quarterback that comes in the building. I think J.J., I talked to him in Dublin before the game, and he seemed in good spirits, and he really wanted to practice. I personally, I don't know about you or the philosophy on this, I was surprised that injured players were on the trip, to be honest. Like, I think about swelling and travel and all that jazz, and it's like Aaron Jones is on IR, Andrew Van Ginkel didn't play either of those games, and JJ's there. That's three pretty important players. I felt like leave him back in Egan, you know, leave one trainer with the guys.
Although I saw they fired up Aaron Jones for some type of community event, so maybe that was part of the role, which is like he's got time, he can go over and do it. I mean, the Steelers brought their quarterback was on injured reserve and he got jumped and robbed in Dublin. So there's something to be said for that. You know, with JJ, I feel for him because I mean, think about the amount of time the guy has missed. He's never really been injured before.
I don't know if I feel for him that badly, honestly.
It's a lot for a young guy. I mean, look at every other quarterback who we were talking about last year. It is Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. They've all got winning records this season. Yep. They're all at various stages of their development. JJ, we didn't see him 1 second last year.
Yep.
We see him for two games this year, but one of which is on a short week. Plus, he missed the day because he had a child born, gets hurt. Now he's right back to being injured. From what I'm told, I said this on Sunday morning on Game Day Kickoff, he's not 100% yet on the ankle.
Yeah.
They'll see him this week. They'll see his mobility is, but this is a ton of time. Guys don't miss a year of football and just bounce right back. And so I pumped the brakes on anybody who's like, hey, JJ, clearly, like, this is not going to work out. He's played badly. It's like, he hasn't had time on task, and that's hard.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, I guess, by holding out judgment. I'm going to hold out judgment on their current decision-making right. about the quarterbacks and about long-term decision-making about JJ. What I said, I don't feel badly for him, is that I didn't see that going well the month of September. I think, honestly, sometimes you start driving on a road trip and, like, you get the flat tire and then you run out of gas. And you're like, you know what? I think I need to stop the night at a hotel. Like, I think this day needs to be done. Just take the break for a second. And I actually, not that I wish injury upon anybody, but I do feel that him having the two games experience, and then even if it is a long break, now he can actually conceptualize what it means to be a starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. When he's sitting in meetings last year, he had no concept of what the speed of the game felt like, what right. the IQ demands were of the playbook. He was thinking he could. It could be explained to him. Now he's got two game sample size. I think he needs to be like 110% healthy before we even, and then add another week and then get him in there. But they've got two games in 5 days next week coming off of a bye. So I think we see Carson for a little bit, and I'm okay with that.
The easy thing to do would be just say, all right, there's all this pressure on us. We got to prove that JJ, we got to prove we picked the right guy out of the six quarterbacks. Let's push him back out the moment he's healthy. There's a difference between healthy and ready, which is where I give Kevin O'Connell credit for doing the hard thing. And again, we'll see whether or not he might look great in practice this week. And Carson, who's got a bad left shoulder, might not look good in the course of practice here. Maybe he plays. Right. But the hard thing, which is what Kevin's going to do, is just go, I don't need to push the guy. I don't care what the media is saying. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the fans are saying. Like, I'm going to wait until he's in a groove. Operationally, he's got everything here, but it does put the Vikings in a spot where, you know, I don't think anybody drew it up as, let's have a Carson Wentz revenge game against the Eagles in week 7. Especially because he wasn't even on the team until late August.
It's a sweet story and all, and I feel like we're really gripping for some revenge game storyline sometimes. Like, there's not enough.
I'm always up for a good revenge game.
Every week you can find it. It's like enough. I feel like there's only 5 authentic revenge games in a season, and like we're already at max capacity just because of all the movement that goes down. But I hear you on the Carson Wentz thing. I just think I would rather rely on Carson Wentz the way a Joe Flacco is. Like, the guy's got experience. He knows what's up. He knows what he can and cannot handle. And I just don't think you can say the same about J.J. McCarthy right now. He doesn't know what's what. And that's okay. You're allowed to be like that in your second year.
What was Dublin like? The game aside, what first time the NFL has been there. Yep. Unique city. I don't know if you had visited before, but what was it like?
So I've had the unique experience in the last couple of years too. I was in Munich for the first game and Dublin for the first game. So I kind of understand, and I'll be in Madrid next month. I kind of understand what it means like for the first touchdown, you know, regular season game and whatnot. So the what I felt in the city was they couldn't have picked two better organizations. I feel like in terms of fans willing to travel, kind of like genealogical connection to the region of the world, if you will, of like Vikings fans and Minnesotans and then just the Steelers. I thought the city was 50-50 in terms of fans. Then you get into the stadium and it was like 70-30 in favor of the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Like, it was wild in there. But the city performed well. Someone told me before I got there that like you really understand how many shades of green there are once you get to Ireland. And that was true. A lot of grass, very rich, very lush landscape. And it was a fine game. It wasn't like it wasn't like the greatest game I've ever witnessed in person, but Dublin was fun. Guinness was great. I liked it. I probably will only ever drink it in Ireland if I could be so bratty.
Did it taste different? I've not been.
Okay, I'm a beer drinker. But I had not had Guinness in the continental U.S.
See, you should have then. You got to establish the baseline, the control subject, because now we can't take anything in terms of your review.
I think now I'm just going to be like high maintenance and highbrow like that. Like, I'm only going to drink champagne in the south of France. Yep. And like, I'm only going to drink red wine in Italy.
My first time and ruin it forever in any other venue, any other time.
I will only drink domestic coffee in Seattle, and I will only have Guinness in Dublin. And it was fantastic. And the whole like splitting the G phenomenon that I was attempting thing to do. I mean, I just signed up for drinking like so many Guinness because I was just trying to hit the line right there. It was a lot of attempts, Tom.
I saw they were running that clip of yeah. you repeatedly. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I saw it.
To and from break.
Yeah.
A whole show for 4 hours of impressive. Jamie. So the idea, explain the drink
so
to the G.
The classic Guinness glass has the branding in the middle. And this apparently only recently became a social media phenomenon. And it's you get it poured on tap and there's the creamy top and then the Guinness. Well, you're supposed to drink the beer and you are trying to do it in a singular glug mm-hmm. to when you set the beer down, the foam and the dark beer is perfectly on the bridge of the G. And as you know, on GMFB, we do a lot of things like for the purpose of entertaining television.
Of course.
And I really regret, I undershot it on my first one. So I was like, I had about that much to go. On my second one, I should have just gone full send. And I really regret
that. You came up short of the first one.
I came up short on both of them, Tom.
No, but their first drink was bigger than the second from
yes,
what I could tell.
Yeah. And then I started to like try to overcorrect on the sips. And like, that's not how you play the game. And then I ended up just chugging the whole beer on my Instagram. So
and then you went out and then you did another 3.5 hours of TV.
Pretty much.
Which is very solid.
No breaks.
Speaking of no breaks, I know you have none. We have to take one. Can you stick around
yeah,
for one more segment?
If you have me.
More Jamie Erdahl in studio.
I've already gone through my nap window.
We'll kick her up. We'll get you all the way till 4 o'clock if we can.
Oh, no.
All right. More with Jamie Erdahl coming up right after this on The Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero in for Rich.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Tom Pelissero in for Rich. Jamie Erdahl hanging out for a little bit longer here. No breaks ever. Both the name of her new YouTube show as well as a lifestyle.
Yes, it is. There it is. Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah.
That is a fantastic sweatsuit. You are a sweatsuit connoisseur. Yeah,
Thank you. I regret wearing jeans today, honestly. It just feels very off-brand for me, but, you know.
You should have worn that green sweatsuit when you went to Dublin and walked around like everyone dresses here like this,
Who
right?
Who says I didn't,
wear
Tom?
Green, did
for sure.
Were you on the streets in it?
For sure. I was walking in with the grass and the random golf courses that I drove by. Thank you. Yeah, it's, I don't like taking still photographs like that. Photo shoots may be uncomfortable, but if I have to do it, it will be done in a sweatsuit. Honestly, in permanence. Like, I don't think I'll ever take another photo professionally without it being in a sweatsuit.
Photo shoots it's an uncomfortable thing. Like, we have to do it every like 3 years for NFL Network. And I'm always like, hey, I'm wearing a nice suit. Like, I think I look good. And then they'll be like, you know, they click through on the computer. I'm always like, every like horrible face. I'm like, do I look like that?
Let me ask you this, Tom. Some people would have an opinion about like, oh, I should be like holding a microphone in my professional headshot. And like the former player's got to be like spinning the football. Do you hold like the pen and paper? Or the cell phone in yours?
No, they give me the football. And then that's another thing where I'm like, I've never seen
this?
A football before. I'm like spinning it, but I'm like dropping the ball. So somewhere there are hundreds of proofs of me, like the ball spinning off my hand.
Oh, no.
Me having just dropped it.
Your photo should be sleeping with the AirPod in your ear.
Totally.
That would make quite the profile photo on social media
like
right there.
Yeah,
that's Tom.
Commitment to unfortunately,
who's calling me?
Yeah, like Brockman posted a photo over here when I was on phone before the show the other day.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, that's not a face that needs to be anywhere.
Yeah, but you were
on the internet.
I don't even know who you were. You could have been talking to your wife.
I don't remember what it was,
but
it was something that seemed important in that moment.
Really important.
But everything is important.
That's what I respect about you guys. He who lies within the insider world of the NFL. It's like you guys take everything so seriously. And for a show on Good Morning Football, sometimes we don't take enough things seriously. Probably you come on and you're like you straighten us up real quick, like you're like the shoelace that we
I'm
need.
Always the bad news guy though on that show.
My tone like, does have to change sometimes when I welcome
you
in.
Talking about the most like I don't want to say inane things, but just like silly nonsense.
Sure.
And it's Kyle doing a bit and mm-hmm. Manti reacting, and we're talking about his muscles or his shirt or whatever. They'll be like, and Tom, there was devastating news yesterday as this former coach died, and it's like I don't really feel comfortable making that turn because I'm just coming on. That's right. And I just bring it back down to the lowest point.
You know what I appreciate about you, Tom, because you and I have known each other for so long. I think you and I do have like a good unspoken language between the two of us. Mm-hmm. So that we'll be talking about something ridiculous and I will have a sense for like, you know what? I think Tom would want to add to this. And so we will include you.
I try to give you the ESP where I just kind of give you one of these looks
the
like
smirk. It's honestly the Tom smirk.
You should ask me about what you were just talking
about.
Yeah,
or like you think we're being ridiculous, but I do have something to add. Or I know that if we're either like up against a break, no breaks. if we're up against a break or it is something kind of serious, mm-hmm. a suspension or a firing or a significant injury, I know like my tone has to change, but it's really annoying when you guys are like, you know what? I do want to add. I'm like, well, now I look like a buffoon because I just tried to take a left turn.
You're very good at navigating thanks. And making the turns. So you'll be in Madrid. First game ever in Spain. What do we know that you can share with us right now about what that entire week is going to look like?
Oh, boy. That's a great question, Tom. Can we go back to me asking you questions?
Yeah,
no, I mean, I know the teams that are going to be playing and unfortunately, in the worst football cliche possible right now, I know I'm going and it's like one day at a time kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But I know, honestly, I don't know much. That's a truthful statement. Commanders, Dolphins.
So you're going to show up and they're going to be like, Jamie's running with the Bulls pregame. You're
going to
be like, oh, I should have read the production notes.
Are you
totally.
Doing that?
And you know what? I think that's why they send me
a handkerchief around your neck.
I think that's why they send me to these things is my willingness to do the ridiculous. Because in Croke Park, the security guy walked over to me and was like, did you know they give tours up top? And this thing was the top of the stadium. And I was like, did we fax out a camera up there? Because I want to go. And they tried. And I was going to go full send. And so I will do
the, like the rafters?
Yeah. Above the rafters.
That's not for me.
Oh, heck yeah, it is. It was
no
for me.
You fear of heights.
No.
Of...
If it's good for television, it's good for me.
I agree with that right up until I might die doing it. That's where I draw the line.
I figure if someone takes a tour up there, they probably have one of those like belt hooks or something. They could have kept me tethered. It would have been fine. The point is I will go to Madrid and I will participate in the culture as best that I can. As documented with the Guinness drinking.
What is the most ridiculous live shot you've ever done? Going back to CBS days, other places you've worked, like the one that jumps out where you're like, that was so ridiculous that it was also really fun.
Oh man, what a great question. Racking my brain live shot. So on the NCAA tournament mm-hmm. assignment, we will have our day of four games. And then the next day is a down day for us, but the other sites are playing. Mm-hmm. But if there's like a Cinderella feel-good story, they want us to do like a feature shoot with the guys. So Little Rock, Arkansas beat Purdue in Denver. It was one of Purdue's many like number two mm-hmm. seeded losses. And I think I've witnessed like four of them. They don't want me near their games. So Little Rock, Arkansas beats them. Chris, what's his name? He coaches Texas Tech now. Chris.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. He's coaching Little Rock, Arkansas. And he's got this player who says he eats cinnamon ice cream before every game. Mm-hmm. So like, then we got to get the cinnamon ice cream in between. And so we're like live eating cinnamon ice cream and like Barkley's got something to say about it. And just like the commentary, kind of going back to the Guinness, the commentary while you're eating or drinking something on live television and you're trying to like not look like it's just going to be the most clipped off thing on the internet is a really hard balance. So that was one. I did a horse jumping competition once live in my first job in Boston. And that was just like, honestly, the horse jumpers, the athletes would come over to me and I'd be like, what am I supposed to ask you right now? I didn't know.
Boy, that horse jumps really high.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's how I used to handle it with hockey players in games. I'd be like, what am I supposed to ask you right now? Like, that's how you learn TV sometimes, how to do it. So horse jumping and cinnamon ice cream eating at the NCAA tournament.
I'm also a fan of eating on TV. It has to be contextual. It can't just be, I'm going to hoon down a hot dog in the middle of every show and ta-da, great TV.
I don't think there's a time that a hot dog's ever contextual.
What do you got over there, Brock?
I have a cinnamon roll.
Where's it from?
Our bakery across the street.
Tell me why I should eat it.
It smells delicious.
Want to split a cinnamon roll, Tom?
This is quite the challenge
really
here.
Good. Also, Jamie, when you were describing how you were taking the Guinness to the Dome, you gave me a new fantasy team name, I think. And that's
Guinness to the Dome?
Singular Glug.
Singular Glug.
Yeah, Singular Glug. I was thinking the same thing.
Really?
I might change one of my team names to that. So
could also be, if you start another YouTube show because you need more things to do, it could be you're drinking a beer, you're talking about sports, and you take the Singular Glug that is a one taste Dave Portnoy pizza ask, and that is the entire substance of your review.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.